What does capitalism mean to you today? Does it mean rich bankers and powerful number-crunching computers trading all sorts of imaginary stuff at lightning-fast speeds? Capitalism, it's one of the bigger narratives of the last 150 years, and I'm going to be telling it in my own way, as a comedian at the Kilconomics Festival of Comedy and Economics. Yes, that's right, comedy and economics. So this is Colm O'Regan's Story of Capitalism, with the help of a live audience in Clears Bar in Kilkenny in Ireland. Hello everyone, thank you so much for coming to Kilconomics. So here's the deal. The BBC wanted to do a documentary about capitalism. It's been the big topic of the year. What is capitalism? Why are we talking about it? A lot of talk about inequality and the modern capitalist system. Often it's wrapped up in ideology and jargon. They needed someone with a deep understanding allied with straight-talking communication skills to explain this topic to people. Unfortunately, everyone else was off sick and Russell Brand was too expensive, so they've picked me.
Look, I know what you're thinking. A comedian discussing capitalism. Don't do it, man, I can hear you scream. What does this idiot know about capitalism? Well, I would say the same thing I'm telling myself. Don't panic, because I'm asking some experts to help me keep my head above water.
Over this weekend and the coming month, I'll be on a journey, and I'm pronouncing that deliberately in a daytime TV way. I'm on a journey to try and find out where capitalism came from, what we mean by capitalism now, and where it's going. I'll be asking people here at the Kilconomics Festival, the experts, the hedge fund managers, the economists, what they think.
What does capitalism mean to you?
It's a very bad word.
Capitalism is a very mixed bag.
It doesn't mean anything. It's like asking a fish what water means. It just is the system that they're in.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need fun. That's what I want.
I've taken this seriously. I've even been to New York.
Capitalism, I hate to say this, is when them stuck-up ass people, you know, just want you to do what they want you to do.
There's me there at Wall Street, so I'm taking it seriously. Of course, going to Wall Street, like any tourist, I couldn't actually resist taking a selfie in front of the bull, as if it was chasing me there. I tried to search on Amazon for capitalism to start off my research on it. There are 17,094 results on amazon.co.uk for books on capitalism. The one that comes up most often is this one. It's Capital by Thomas Piketty. It has two centuries of hard data. And indeed, it is hard data. Here is the book here. It's got 600 pages in it. I knew I was in trouble in the bookshop when I bought it and the guy behind the counter said, good luck with that.
I'm here now in Hodges Figgis bookshop in Dublin, taking pride of place in a stand marked Store Books of the Year. Is the book that was the big deal of 2013 and 14, Capital by Thomas Piketty. It's partly the reason why I'm taking this journey through capitalism. If there's one thing that's come out of the last few years, it's that we have realised that our vague understanding of capitalism is probably wrong. Money doesn't behave the way we thought it might have behaved, so I suppose I'd better buy this. It's quite a big book and the diagrams look complicated. I think I'm going to struggle.
And you know, right now we are at a time, in particular in Europe, but across the world, where we are worried about the rise of public debt.
That's the man himself, speaking to the World Service earlier this year.
And you know, it's important to realize that, public debt has increased as a fraction of GDP, but private wealth has increased even more as a fraction of GDP. So when we tell to ourselves, this is very bad, we are going to leave to our children a lot of public debt and we should be ashamed. Well, I don't know if we should be ashamed, but we should be aware of the fact that we are going to leave more private wealth, at least for those who have private wealth, as a fraction of GDP than we've been leaving for an entire century. So now, when is it that inequality of property or inequality of labor income becomes excessive? There's no mathematical formula for that. All what we have as a guide is historical experience. You know, that's an imperfect guide, and this is why people will, you know, have dispute about inequality forever. But at least, you know, the historical evidence that I provide in my book provides some guidance.
I am a serial collector of books that I won't read. I actually wonder if Piketty's book is going to be the Ulysses of nonfiction, in that a lot of people own a copy, but not necessarily a lot of people have read it. And currently, I have found the book very useful as a doorstop. But that's me laughing at something that I don't understand. I'm classically pandering to dumbed-down culture. Just because a book is difficult and some of the diagrams are hard to understand doesn't mean it's not worth reading. So I am going to persevere, just not yet. Luckily, I found an article that summarized it for me. And basically, Thomas Piketty's book boils down to this basic equation: R is greater than G. The return from wealth is greater than the return from economic growth. That's an intriguing prospect. That basically says if you're not wealthy already, you probably never will be.
I did a long review of the book. I just finished it last month, and it's a serious book. He's hardworking and so on. He's just wrong.
You know what they say about no two economists agreeing? Deirdre McCloskey is a professor of history at Chicago University.
He's wrong that inequality has increased. His theoretical pessimism is unreasonable. In view of what's happened, look, in the last 30 years, the number of people in the world on terrible subsistence incomes has been halved. People living on $1 a day or $2 a day has been cut in half. Since 1800, we've gone from $3 a day that the average French person, say, earned and consumed, to $110 a day. That's the most important secular event in human history. All this pessimism, all this Marxian, Ricardian, Keynesian talk about the exhaustion of technology and the capitalists are going to take over the national income and so on. It's intriguing. People like pessimistic stories, but it's turned out over and over again to be wrong.
So here this weekend, I'm trying to get a number of different views of capitalism. As you can see, I'm using a slideshow to illustrate some of my points. This will be seen as inherently unfair to people who are listening on the radio, but that's just another form of crony capitalism. The people in the know, that's you, get the benefit of something that the listeners don't, but don't tell them. What they don't know won't bother them.
I'm Hajun Chang. I teach economics at the University of Cambridge, England. I'm the author of, well, a few books, the most famous of which, I guess, is 23 Things They Don't Tell You About Capitalism. I also have a more recent book called Economics, The User's Guide.
Hajun, what does capitalism mean to you?
Well, capitalism is basically a system driven by profit. Capitalism is basically individuals and, more importantly, these days, large corporations doing things to earn more profit. So we don't ask questions about whether the product itself is good. We don't ask how they are produced and so on. So that's a pure form of capitalism.
You wrote a book called 23 Things They Don't Tell You About Capitalism. What did you see that wasn't being communicated to people?
Over the years, I've come to the increasing realization that when people talk about economic issues, when they talk about capitalism, when they talk about inequality or whatever, they do this on the basis of a huge range of myths that they think are facts, you know.
Hello, my name is Mark Blythe. I'm a professor of international political economy at Brown University in the United States and author of, most recently, a book called Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea.
Austerity. I wonder, though, is capitalism also a dangerous idea?
Capitalism's a fabulous idea. It's just that, you know, and I'm going to sound much more right-wing than I usually do, we don't really do capitalism. Right. So to think about, for example, banking. Right. So you get to take outsized risks because you're huge and important and politically connected. And if the risks go bad, then you're so big you can't be allowed to fail. So the taxpayer will bail you out. So you've got a brilliant business model. That's not capitalism. That's extortion. So I think capitalism is a great idea. It's just that the version we end up with oftentimes isn't really capitalism.
What does capitalism mean to you?
Capitalism means to me, capitalism is a very mixed bag in that regard. So I'll give you an example. I'm married to an East German, and the joke in the family last month or the month before was that if Scotland becomes independent, we'll both have come from countries that no longer exist, right? Which is a bit weird. And, you know, from her point of view, capitalism, you know, is obviously a wonderful thing because it's tied up with the expansion of democracy. It's the end of the Cold War, right? It's market liberalism. And it's all these things that brought to the end a pretty rotten regime that enabled her to travel and, you know, all the rest of it. So if capitalism is part of that, it's a great thing. But capitalism on its own is also a tremendous inequality generator. And that inequality leads to not just skewed political power, but also skewed life chances. If you're 65 years old and invested in the system and you played the game well, if you're in finance, for example, you can't imagine a better system. And we now live in a world in which people who are, let's say, 10 years younger than me, 35 years old and below, they've lived through a period in which it was really boom and really bust.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
The lazy way to define something is always to look it up on Wikipedia. Wikipedia defines capitalism as an economic system in which trade, industry, and the means of production are largely or entirely privately owned and operated for profit. Now, a lot of serious researchers would disdain Wikipedia as a method of research, as the easy way out, but it's actually quite hard. I doubt Thomas Piketty ever had to deal with the distraction of starting to look up capitalism and then getting distracted by Wikipedia links and ending up finding out a list of animals with fraudulent diplomas. What do the bigwigs say about capitalism? Alan Greenspan says, capitalism is based on self-interest and self-esteem. It holds integrity and trustworthiness as cardinal virtues and makes them pay off in the marketplace, thus demanding that men survive by means of virtue, not vices. It is this superlatively moral system that the welfare statist proposed to improve upon by means of preventative law, snooping bureaucrats, and the chronic goad of fear. On the other hand, Karl Marx says, the last capitalist we hang shall be the one who sold us the rope.
Well, I think Marx would have been astonished by both how right and how wrong he was. I mean, he was right in the sense that there is a gigantic working class. It's mainly in the developing and emerging world.
John Lanchester is the author of a number of books. His most recent is called How to Speak Money.
From Marx's point of view, I think he would have thought everyone now in the developed world is, broadly speaking, middle class. But he also would have seen it as very, very wrong, because his predictions are all about how capitalism immiserates and makes people have shorter and more horrible lives. And the fact is, life expectancy has vastly increased since Marx's day. When he was writing, and you know, most of his children died in infancy, the infant mortality rate was, I think, something like 150 per 1,000 births. And now in the UK, it's 4. And I think he would never have predicted material progress and improvement arising out of capitalism. And I think he might have thought a bit differently about it if he had.
Karl Marx struggling to understand capitalism today? I'm not sure. Here he is in his own words on the subject. Within the capitalist system, all methods for raising the social productiveness of labour are brought about at the cost of the individual labourer. They mutilate the labourer into a fragment of a man, degrade him to the level of an appendage of a machine, destroy every remnant of charm in his work, and turn it into a hated toil. They distort the conditions under which he works. Subject him during the labour process to a despotism the more hateful for its meanness. They transform his lifetime into working time and drag his wife and child beneath the wheels of the juggernaut of capital. Well, tell us what you really mean, Carol. On the other hand, things didn't quite work out the way he forecast. I mean, I doubt he predicted that something called Twitter might be worth $30 billion, but he certainly gave capitalism a bad name, and that's something that Deirdre McCloskey, another distinguished Kilkenomic speaker, might agree with.
It's a very bad word, because it puts us in mind of capital, of accumulating capital, and that's not what made us 30 times richer per person than we were in 1800. What made us richer was ingenuity, invention, discovery, new ideas. So the whole focus on capital that's unfortunately encouraged by this word is stupid. And that means that this talk about inequality is a little misplaced, because inequality of wealth is not the same thing as inequality of income, which is much less, and inequality of essential consumption is smaller now than it's ever been in world history. It's in 1800, some people had healthy lives, and other people were very sick and poor and hungry all the time. And that's no longer the case in OECD countries and rich countries.
Deirdre McCloskey is a professor of history and economics at Chicago University.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need money. That's what I want. That's what I want.
J.M. Keynes was the Cambridge economist, famous for, among other things, his 1936 book, The General Theory of Employment, Interest and Money, a sort of 50 Rates of Grey. He said, when the capital development of a country becomes a byproduct of the activities of a casino, the job is likely to be ill done. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Cullum, but you've skipped an important bit. You've jumped from Karl Marx and mid-19th century Manchester to Keynes in 20th century Cambridge without mentioning, say, the First World War or the Russian Bolshevik Revolution or any of that. But look, I never promised you a history lesson. This is my abridged story of capitalism, not the story of the bad guys, which from capitalism's point of view would be the communists. This isn't Wicked the musical, so let it go. As Keynes once said, capitalism is the astounding belief that the most wickedest of men will do the most wickedest of things for the greatest good of everyone. And who can say there's anything wrong with that? Okay, so that does sound a bit like Wicked the musical rather than an economic theory. And in fact, there is some question as to whether Keynes actually said that at all. What he did do, however, was dominate intellectual thinking, and one of his most famous contributions was the notion of animal spirits. In layman's terms, that's a rush of blood to the head. On second thoughts, perhaps I should leave the history bit to Hajun Chang.
People like Keynes came along and said capitalism can be reformed, it can be made into a humane system, and which is what actually happened between the 1930s and 1970s, because during that time, all the main economies, including the United States, had this system called mixed economy. So the prevailing view at the time was that capitalism needs that regulation, but then we have in the last few decades been dominated by this neoliberal view, which harks back to the days of Adam Smith, as if we live in a world full of small factories and no mega corporation exerts that undue power over government policy, no mega bank that have to be bailed out if these people don't do their job. So we actually are living in a world which is fundamentally different, but have been running things as if we are living in the 18th century. That's the tragedy of our time.
So that's the theory, or the science bit, for those of you who are sitting exams on the subject in the near future. It's worth bearing in mind, however, that Keynes also had a pretty good grasp of the practicalities of a bank account as well, when he said, if you owe your bank £100, you have a problem. If you owe £1 million, it has. Actually, come to think of it, in Ireland, we don't really need reminding of that. Thanks very much.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
You won't recognise the building behind me because this is radio, but if I describe it as a multi-storey, half-finished construction on a quayside in Dublin, you might know the description. It's virtually de rigueur for every televisual report about Ireland's economic collapse to feature a shot of this half-built shell that was supposed to be the former headquarters of Anglo-Irish Bank. Anglo-Irish was once the darling of the financial world for its particularly ballsy breed of capitalism. Then it collapsed when the world realised that Anglo didn't have enough capital to back up its loans. And in a further illustration of less than free capitalism, all of Anglo's losses were socialised, meaning the public, me and a few million others, took them over. Wasn't that good of us? And as if to smear on the symbolism with a thick trowel, the now extinct Anglo's existing headquarters is partly occupied by a Starbucks, the other leg of capitalism that we're all getting familiar with these days, globalization. Deirdre McCloskey also brings another perspective to the question of capitalism, as she was an associate of one of the big names in economic theory, Milton Friedman.
Lots of people on the left say that Friedman was a terrible influence, but he wasn't. He was a good influence because in a lot of countries, people came to believe in Friedman's ideas and they cut central planning, they cut over-regulation, and their economy started to grow. The two biggest examples of this are China and India. And in China, Milton Friedman actually had some personal influence. In the case of India, they just got completely tired of the license Raj and decided to see what would happen if you let people make deals.
Milton Friedman once gave an interview in which he asked, Is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. We all know that line, greed is good, from the film Wall Street.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
More recently, we've had another film, The Wolf of Wall Street, which portrays an unscrupulous, rapacious form of capitalism, full of parties and boats and Matthew McConaughey making odd guttural noises. Sorry, I don't need to beat my chest during this bit, do I? Oh, thank goodness. Anyway, what does Ha-Jun Chang, author of 23 Things They Don't Tell You About Capitalism, think about greed?
Well, a lot of people have praised greed as the most important thing that has made the world rich. And yeah, to an extent, it's true. But you know, the fact that something is powerful, something can be powerful, doesn't mean that it shouldn't be regulated. You know, the way I put it is, which country had traffic lights, mandatory seat belts, and mandatory airbags in cars when people walked and at most rode in a horse cart? You know? So the fact that the greed can be an important motor force behind capitalism, maybe the most important the motor force behind capitalism, doesn't mean that we should just let it run amok. You know, it's like saying that, well, Porsche is a powerful car and we should let their drivers do whatever they want.
Speaking of drivers, let's go back to the street, Wall Street that is, and find out what the man on that street thinks.
Capitalism is strong in New York City.
What does capitalism mean to you?
It means the opportunity to make my own way in life.
The freedom to do and earn at the pleasure of yourself.
I don't know, like, you know, to get a job and earn yourself money and pay rent and buy things you want to buy and work, have a living.
Capitalism, I hate to say this, is when them stuck-up ass people, you know, just want you to do what they want you to do. And free enterprise to me is everybody being able to do what they want to do, work for themselves, don't have to answer to the government. And I understand that it got to be law and order, but the rich just keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poor. And you never want to see the underdog, the poor man rise up or the poor woman rise up, and you just keep your foot on our neck and we never rise up. But then you get upset when we bring violence into it because there's no other alternative.
You feel like giving him a round of applause at the end of that, don't you? As you can see from my use of Wikipedia to study this very complex topic, I am all for looking for shortcuts in order to aid understanding. Looking at what other people thought what capitalism means to them, I took to Facebook and Twitter to see what people thought. This is a comment from Paul Marsh, his view on capitalism. Capitalism to me is about big groups of businesses joining together to bully out the little ones and stamp out competition. Cormac O'Brien has one caveat about capitalism. Capitalism is great when you're young, healthy and don't have kids. As soon as you have kids, you need to move to Sweden. Believe me. Neil Sinnott is conflicted. While I wouldn't be a fan of capitalism, it does keep me in a job. Dennis Mulcahy, I liked this one because I learned something from it. The origin of the word is from medieval Latin capitale, meaning wealth. It's an economic system based on the idea of creating wealth. I like this one because it's nice and short. Eleanor Tiernan, capitalism is America. And then there were other ones where people were critical of capitalism. Ger O'Shea, capitalism has gone mad. No longer happy with making profits at any cost, capitalists are now openly trying to take over the running of countries. Robert Prince, I think that capitalism is the best economic and political system we know, and I mean that. The revisions and regulatory tweaks made over the last 500 years has made it even better, fairer, and more efficient. What do we think about that, audience? I'll take that as a growl. We have one more here. Peter O'Byrne, capitalist, someone who is in favour of using capital letters at the start of every new sentence. There's always a comedian. Finally, one thing I realised from this social media exercise is that I was unwittingly taking part in a brand new strain of capitalism, social media capitalism. In traditional capitalism, it's often clear what is the product. You pay your money, you get a tangible thing you can hold, or a service you can benefit from. For me, in canvassing the views of the people on social media, I was getting free information and other people were getting to express their opinion for free. That seemed like we'd completely subverted the traditional arrangement of provider, product, payment and consumer. Nobody pays. It's brilliant.
But as the old maxim goes, if you're getting something for free, chances are you are the product. But if you are worried that the messages about capitalism that are being passed on to our children are wrong, don't worry, the children are in safe hands. This is a book called Your Teacher Said What? Defending Our Kids from the Liberal Assault on Capitalism. It's written by news anchor Joe Kernan. If that name is familiar, you may recognize Joe Kernan from this clip.
You have euros in Ireland?
We have euros, yes, which has...
Why you have euros in Ireland?
A strong recovery. Why wouldn't we have euros in Ireland?
Huh? I'd use the pound.
No, we've had the euro for some time and we're very happy with it.
What about Scotland? I was using Scottish...
Scottish pounds, yeah.
Scottish pounds.
So they use sterling.
They use sterling?
They use sterling, but we use euro. Yeah.
What? Why would you do that?
Luckily, he recovers well by the end of the clip.
Same island, isn't it?
And in the north of Ireland, they have sterling, but...
They do?
We use euro, yeah.
With humans like that, it's no wonder that the machines have taken over and are running the numbers for themselves. Even the people who claimed to know what's going on have been caught out by the complexity of the products and markets, in inverted commas, that they have invented. So not so much credit crunched as number crunched. So I'm coming to the end of my little journey on the road to discovering capitalism. And what have I concluded, or where have I got to? To be honest, not that far. It's a very complex topic. What I have understood is that most people have a different understanding of what capitalism means, and perhaps it could be summed up as capitalism would be a good idea if we tried it. But who better to sum up this complex topic than the man I met on Wall Street in New York?
The rich just keep getting richer and the poor just keep getting poor, and the damn poor is just sick and tired of it. You might hear me cursing this and that and they might edit it out, but enough is enough.
You have been listening to Colm O'Regan's Story of Capitalism. Now, I suppose I better go and read that book. Where did I put it? Oh, I see it there. It's holding open a door.